This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Snap, crackle, laptop.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. We smug Mac users who chuckled when Dell had that battery recall last week, who's crying now? Apple's recalling over a million of its laptops that use the same Sony technology. The trouble is the batteries in them can catch fire. Between the two recalls, price tag for the snafu is estimated to be at least a couple hundred million bucks. The Bank of America is going to make over $1 billion to bail out of some of its business in Hong Kong and Macau. The Construction Bank of China is the buyer. Marketplace's Jocelyn Ford explains why they're happy to pony up the cash.
The China Construction Bank is China's third largest lender, and it has big ambitions. Bank analyst Lydia Lin.
They want to become one of the best banks in the world.
But she says the bank needs to get a few how-to lessons. Lydia Lin says the state-controlled bank still needs to learn the ropes of operating in the free market, like how to figure out who is a risky borrower.
For higher-risk borrowers, they should charge higher prices, but they just feel they don't have these techniques or they don't know how to control these risks.
Acquiring Bank of America's 17 branches in Hong Kong and Macau is like enrolling in on-the-job training. The Bank of America plans to leave the retail market in Asia because it didn't have much market share. It mostly served small businesses and individuals. But the leading U.S. bank will continue to serve corporations in Asia. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Word this morning the price of oil is up a buck a barrel, all because of the threat of a storm in the Caribbean and the continued standoff with Iran. So make that $73 for a barrel of crude. A different sort of oil is causing trouble for Wendy's, but it'll be good for your health. The company's stock dipped a bit after it announced it would switch to a new trans-fat-free cooking oil. The new oil is made from a blend of corn and soybeans, and Wendy's doesn't expect it to cost any more to use. This is the first major fast food chain to make the switch. Retailers in Britain are reacting angrily to a new plan for what to do with shoplifters. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Britain's sentencing advisory panel has proposed that shoplifters be punished with community service, not prison. Only where violence is involved, or children are used, or very high-value items are stolen, should the perpetrator go to jail. If adopted, this would mark a further softening of the British attitude to theft. The UK already punishes many small-time shoplifters the same way it punishes drivers for a parking offence. Dale Atkinson speaks for retailers. He complains that the latest move plays down the economic damage caused by this crime.
We don't view shoplifting as a petty crime. It's worth in this country more than $1 billion US dollars each year to the bottom line. So obviously that's having an enormous effect.
But penal reformers say many persistent shoplifters are drug addicts, so going to jail won't deal with the underlying cause of the crime. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And on Wall Street Thursday, the Dow closed up 6 to 11,304. The Nasdaq closed up 3 to 2137, and the S&P closed up 3 to 1296. The Nikkei was up. This is Marketplace. Hope you're not headed to a hotel in Chicago, San Francisco, or Honolulu anytime soon. Employees are threatening to strike. Ashley Milne-Tite has details.
It's been a banner year for hotels, with room rates and occupancy both up. Bobby Bowers is with Smith Travel Research. He says Chicago and San Francisco in particular are big convention markets, and the busy fall season's just about to kick off. If workers at some of the big hotels were to walk out, he says, the effects could be widespread.
concerned not only about the actual properties that are involved in the strike itself, but also kind of the halo effect. I mean, you may have some people that just want to avoid the markets completely.
Bowers says hotels are keen to avert a strike, but they'll have to work hard. The two sides are far apart on wages and health care. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
By the way, I meant the Nikkei is down, and you are listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Builds with Habitat for Humanity, an opportunity for Lutherans to help build 310 decent homes this year with families in need. Online at thriventbuilds.com. And by saveandinvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money. Online at saveandinvest.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. The Paramount split with Tom Cruise has been the talk of Tinseltown this week. Now, breakups happen all the time here. In this case, the chairman of Paramount's parent company derided Cruise for so publicly flaunting his beliefs in Scientology. Cruise's lawyer told a reporter he thinks Sumner Redstone's lost it completely or someone's giving him bad advice. I asked Michael Spire of Variety what he thought.
Well, his response to that was that he knows exactly what he's doing, and I think it's that. In the end, it's still his company. He makes prudent decisions, so he thinks. And I think he just realized that this deal wasn't worth the value anymore, and he decided to do something about it.
So you think it is about money, or is it about Tom Cruise's behavior?
It's all about money. I mean, if Mission Impossible 3 had reached stratospheric heights, if it had made $800 million or $900, it only made $300 or $400, then we probably wouldn't be having this discussion because, yes, a lot of people think he's kind of creepy and strange and whatever, but in the end, what did he really do? So he jumped on a couch and he's made some comments, but there have been worse things that have gone on in Hollywood and people have slid those under the rug. So it really is about money.
You had a story in Variety about what happens to the projects that Cruise has underway at Paramount. What happens?
Hollywood is a very mysterious kind of place. I mean, his agents at CAA are going to go in and have a meeting and discuss probably project by project of the noteworthy ones, who owns what. But who knows? They could be also currency in a lawsuit if they decide, you know what, this guy can't fire us and we want all these projects.
Cruise's people are saying they're leaving Paramount and they're going to rely on hedge fund money to finance movies. Is that something that's typical?
Well, this summer has been the summer of hedge fund money. I mean, a lot of studios, in order to defray costs, they have used the money that has been culled by a lot of hedge funds to offset the expense of movies. Superman did it, Lady in the Water did it, Ant Bully did it. Warner Brothers uses a company called Legendary, and they provide financing for movies because these companies think, hey, it's so sexy to go Hollywood. Of course, when they invest in Lady in the Water and Ant Bully, they realize it's a big risk because some of these movies really, really bomb. So, look, people will line up to be in business with Tom Cruise because he's still a big movie star, and Mission Impossible 3, for all of its problems, still made a lot of money. But he now has to either go it alone or he has to look for a new deal, and that's probably a headache he doesn't want.
Can he be in the category of a Mel Gibson and go it alone in that way?
He probably can. The difference is Mel Gibson, because of The Passion of the Christ, has already something behind him that shows he can be this indie guy before this latest trouble happened with Mel. He really proved he could do it, and then he had the money that he earned from that to back him in the future. Tom Cruise is really a child of the studio system. I mean, he kind of needs the starlight and the power and the spotlight to be in, because he has produced movies that didn't do very well. Something like Elizabethtown or Ask the Dust. These are movies that really went away after a week or two. So sure, he can go it alone. He can gain a lot of money. People will invest in his movies. It remains to be seen whether he needs the studio system or not. So far, he has needed it.
Michael Spire is the managing editor of Daily Variety. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
Sure, you could spend your vacation in Vegas.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.